We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Good evening, everybody. Friday night, 7 p.m. It's countdown to kickoff. And I am going to be completely honest with you. We are in the mud. Our AFC Wimbledon fan is yet to turn up. So there's going to be some serious, serious waffling going on. Unfortunately, I've got Chief Waffler himself, Max, with me tonight. Max, how are you this evening?
Well, I'd like to clarify first. I think it's Deputy Chief. Okay, Chaz is the biggest waffler on the podcast by a mile, but I'm good. Thank you very much for asking, Ashley. I'm very good.
Good. Well, I'm going to start by thanking Prime Vehicle Sales. Everybody knows by now this is my mum and her partner's business. They are based down in Sawtrey, and they sell new and used cars and vans that are available for you. So if you're interested in that, check out their website, primevehiclesales.co.uk. Or head over to them in Sawtrey. They're actually, at the moment, driving to Scotland to deliver a van, I think it is. Now, if that's not dedication to customer service, I don't know what is. Max, I'm going to go a little bit off on a tangent here. You know how it is. We've had some accusations thrown at us, haven't we? So as DMAC finished his podcast saying, well, it's going to be what we're going to talk about, what better time to talk about it than now? Perfect. He's called us gobshites. It is what it is, right? What I did find interesting is that was a whole 9 days after we'd done that episode. So he's clearly had time to stew on it. And he talks about respect, but actually, I think calling us gobshites is actually incredibly disrespectful. And I thought about it and stewed about it and wasn't sure whether I was going to say anything tonight. But... and this isn't me being a snob or anything, but I do as best as I can for the football club, and I put my money into the football club. I think I got a platinum season ticket. I buy three extra adult season tickets every year. I buy three kits for my daughter every year. I spend £400 on stones. We, as up the podcast, sponsor Archie Collins, and we sponsor Kaylee Hines. Not that that gives us some divine right. But of course, people want to hear our opinions. And to call us gobshites and then talk about respect in the same sentence, that doesn't quite sit right with me, unfortunately. And look, I'm not going to bring Max into this because this was me, Lods, and John, possibly Charlie, if we want to include him. But Charlie means no harm with his words. But of course, we are thankful for Darren McAntony for coming on our podcast. But that doesn't mean that we're just not going to make comments on things. And he's obviously taken some of John's words in one particular way. And I'm not sure that that's entirely true, the way that John meant them and the way that he's taken them. There's only one way to find out. And look, of course, this is an open invite for Darren to come on the podcast. Or if he really wants to, we will go on his podcast. It's not about the numbers. It's about making sure that, we want Peterborough United to be the best. And I think another thing that he made comment on was, what divine right do Peterborough United, with gates of 7,000 to 8,000, have to be at the top of League One every season? Well, if that's the case, why is that our aim? Why is that his aim? That's the one question that I have to ask. But that's enough of my rambling. We've not been bailed on by our Wimbledon guest. He sat in the lobby. I've seen him, so I'm going to bring him straight in now. Mr. Refugee Geezer, how are you? Oh, no, you see, look, this, pause. This is what, we can't hear you at the moment, so there's something wrong with your mic. Check your mic connection out. Now you're muted, so we're definitely not going to be able to hear you.
How are we now? Is that good?
Yes, perfect. Spot on. We are good.
Yes, love it. Yes.
How are you?
Not bad, man. Not bad. I'm actually quite excited for tomorrow. I'll be honest. Good. I think we're actually going to bat you guys.
Well, if you're with us till the end, you won't want to see our score predictions then. I've pulled up this photo. I'm not sure if you remember it, but if you roll back to Benidorm last year, in Benidorm watching Peterborough United versus Wimbledon. I did not think all that time back then when we were in pre-season that this was going to be a League One fixture. You guys obviously had a great season last season. How was that? Obviously getting promoted. Talk to me about that.
Do you know what? It was amazing. I think what made it even better is the fact that no one expected it to happen. Even at the start of the season, everyone was saying, oh, you know, we're going to finish mid-table. Even when we were fighting for playoffs, everyone was saying, oh, it's going to be Grimsby going to be in the playoffs instead of us. But we got in last minute. Even when we were in the playoffs, people were saying we weren't going to win the playoffs. Like, so it's like we were literally the true underdogs in this one. And we ended up getting promoted. And yeah, it's been amazing. Honestly, the feeling was unmatched. I remember watching it with Ali Kingston University, obviously RIPM. But it was an amazing moment to share. And all the AFC Wonder fans were happy, over the moon.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was actually at Wembley watching the playoff final, and it was fantastic. Wimbledon made a lot of noise in comparison to the opponent. So that was also great to see. It's a great story, isn't it? Especially you look at your history and all that sort of stuff. It's fantastic to be in this division, isn't it? And be competing as well, because you've had a great start to the season, haven't you? Sort of sum that up for me. How's the emotion? Were you expecting to do this well?
Again, it was unexpected. Like we all said, we'll be happy with if we just avoid relegation. But clearly, times have changed a bit. I wasn't expecting to be this high up. Obviously, we have dropped in the form past couple of games, which has been quite unfortunate to the teams we weren't even expecting to drop points against. So it is what it is. But we're looking to bounce back against Peterborough, who are looking to get relegated. Hopefully, we get a good win.
Yeah, let's talk about that very quickly then, because we've just had a new manager and we've just beaten Cardiff in the FA Cup, who put out almost a full strength side. We look far better than what we did. Beforehand, we'd sit in a low block and we'd really try and catch teams out. And it worked against teams like Plymouth and Burton, but I would have feared that we would have lost the game having Darren Ferguson still been in charge. Luke Williams seems to have a fantastic ideology and one that he's implemented quite quickly. So I think it's going to be an interesting game. And you, again, as you've just said, teams looking to bounce back after a poor result. But how do you see the game going in a bit more depth? Do you think it's going to be a challenge or do you think it's just going to be a walk in the park?
Nah, look, I know I came in saying we're going to bat you guys, but obviously you guys had the manager bounce. But again, I don't know, I think against us we do better against teams who play better. As you said, you used to play low block. We'd actually do terrible against teams that play low block, so because we play low block as well, and obviously it's not gonna work against another team who's playing low block. You just have to couch the teams out on counter attacks, and I feel like with you guys, you know, I can see you guys going in a more attacking way into the game, mentality. So I think we're going to counteract that with the way we play.
So you've mentioned briefly that you think that we're going to attack. Is there any players that really stand out for you that you've seen? Obviously, like, it's been a poor start to the season for Posh. I'm not going to argue that. So if you said no, there's nobody that I'm worried about, I wouldn't be offended. But is there anyone in the 18 to 25 man squad that you're concerned by?
Nah, not really, I'll be honest. Obviously, I don't know, you guys are doing better, but when I look at our Peterborough team and the way you guys have been performing in games before your new manager, no one really impressed me, especially with our defence. Our defensive capabilities are amazing. I feel like you guys will really struggle, especially with Joe Lewis coming back. You know, people know I'm a big fan of Joe Lewis. So, and Johnson has really stepped up, and Ogundiri. So, honestly, I think we're going to be rock solid at the back. Joe Lewis has already had a game against Gateshead to kind of get back into the squad, ease in. So, yeah.
Yeah, one of our listeners has just pointed out that Matty Stevens isn't available tomorrow, which is good. because we've already seen the likes of Clark Harris and Marriott score against us in at London Road. So that's good for us. But I know I'm almost sure that Matty Stevens is someone that your fan base holds to a high account. Will he be a big miss tomorrow?
We do, but at the same time, he's not. This is the thing about Matty Stevens. The guy is very inconsistent. He can have a run of amazing games, but then you have a run of terrible games where he does absolutely fuck all. So, oh, sorry, am I? Not allowed to swear.
No, you can swear if you like. It's not a big deal.
With Matty Stevens, he's not really... He's got a good goal record, but a lot of them have been penalties as well. I'm very 50-50 about Matty Stevens. Again, his inconsistencies quite a bit. I think the players you have to be more worried about is like Miles Hippolyte, our wing backs like Asim Wey, Sedon. They have been absolutely explosive this season, in my opinion.
And obviously last season you had, I can't remember the guy's name, but you had a lone goalie in, didn't you?
Good.
Have you managed, is he back with you or did you manage to replace him, do you think?
No, Goodman, we didn't manage to get back on loan. He's gone to a championship. I can't actually remember who it was. It's on my head. Oh, I actually forgot. He's on the championship teams. But he was amazing. He was world class. I think it was good he went to a championship because he's too good for League One and League Two, in my opinion. Have we replaced him with Nathan Bishop? Again, he's another 50-50 player. In my opinion, his distribution is horrible. You'll see in the game on Saturday, this guy's going to kick it to absolutely nowhere. Every time it goes to a goal kick, just expect a Peterborough throw in. And he does have the mistake in him. So, yeah.
And obviously, Owen Goodman was the best goalkeeper in the league last year, wasn't he? We have got what people are saying is the second best goalkeeper in Alex Bass. Do you have any thoughts on when you obviously played Notts County last season? Any thoughts on him and what he's like as a goalkeeper?
Alex Bass, yeah, he was at us for the season before that. He was amazing. He was another fan favourite. When he went to Notts County, people at Notts County love him. So I'd happily have him back in my squad, honestly. And I've just seen Goodman has gone to Huddersfield. I thought they were a championship. My bad. We actually played them for a couple of weeks as well. Oh, my days. Yeah.
I was just going to mention that I'm pretty certain that he went to Huddersfield. He was one that I was desperate for. I watched a lot of him last season. I watched a lot of League Two, and he was outstanding. And I thought he was ready for the step up. Easily the best goalkeeper in the league, in my opinion. Alex Bass was the second best, in my opinion. So we did get that through the door. And Huddersfield had a lot of money to splash. I did just want to talk about your transfer window very quickly, just going back on it, because it was one that I wasn't overly impressed with. I didn't feel like you signed anybody of like a League One sort of calibre, but actually it seems you've recruited really well for the system that your manager wants to play. And it proved to me that sometimes you don't need anyone that's had League One experience. You can sign people, and if they work for the system, they work for the system. But how do you feel your summer went? And do you think that's been helpful? The upgrades that you've got have come in and really helped.
Do you know what? Funny enough, I had a massive debate with Callum Fowler on a show, but I don't think the episode's been released yet. What he was saying, he's saying our players individually are not that great, but as a team, they're better. And I actually disagree. I think that's a big misconception of us. Look, when we sign these players in transfer window, yeah, okay, they didn't seem on face value like they're a League One top side. But they're also young. We didn't sign any old men. We signed like young players and even players who are in their prime. At the end of the day, these players have really stepped up. When you look at Sedona and Asim Wey, they have been absolutely killing it at the wing-back positions. Asim Wey had big boots to fill with Neufeld departing to Bradford, and Neufeld being a big reason to us getting promoted. I'm still annoyed about that, but with Asim Wey, the thing is, with him, he's really stepped up, and he's seemed like the same exact player Neufeld was. And this is the thing, individually, because obviously no one has the time in EFL to watch every single team play, but if you actually watch AFC Wimbledon play, you see these individual players and the ability they have. Yes, as a team, we do really well. But at the end of the day, even if we did really well as a team, we would still need that individual quality to be as high up as we are right now. And the players have really shown that.
So are they the only players that Posh fans need to be worried about? And obviously you've mentioned sort of that you're playing the low block. What can we expect to see from Wimbledon tomorrow in terms of their attacking threat? Because we've been led to believe that Luke Williams is very much a, well, if you score three, we'll score four, which for us as fans is going to be great, isn't it? Do you think that you've got the attacking prowess to break down a team that did keep a clean sheet last week?
Well, I'd say our attacking threat is, you know, non-existent. You know, Gateshead was one of the most shocking attacking performances. I can't even go home and say, you know what, we deserved that against Gateshead. We didn't. They deserved to win because we had nothing up top. We have Aussie, you like, this guy is horrid. This guy has no pace. He's slower than, I genuinely think a snail can beat him in a race. I wholeheartedly believe that. Or someone without legs can beat him in a race. I believe that 100%. Because the guy, he has no legs. He's an old man. You can tell he's deteriorating already. I mean, when he gets the ball, he's so one-dimensional. He just, I don't know what he does. He's not technical. He's got no pace. He's got nothing to him. And who else? Attacking, I don't know what it is. We lack creativity. Bugle, I would say, you know what? Bugle is top player for us. He's top player. But he's not a finisher. He can do everything, but he's not a finisher. And that, I think what's going to be the biggest struggle against him for you guys would be his hold-up play. His hold-up is very good, and you'll see that. But apart from that, I think our attacking threat is non-existent. It's more a defensive threat you have to worry about. Joe Lewis, the man, short shorts, and Ryan Johnson's fat head.
That's good that you said that, actually, because I wasn't sure. I remember the man with the short shorts from Benidorm last year, but you said that that's Joe Lewis. So that now puts the link back into my head. So I know who to look out for. He is a hard guy, and he looks like he's a nutty guy, right?
Yeah, he's proper. You can tell the guy prefers rugby to football as well. You know, he's one of them guys. He's amazing at football, but you know, he doesn't even watch. He's very like nonchalant about the sport. Yeah, I even met him after a game sometimes. You know, the guy, you could tell he cares. He doesn't give a fuck about football, man. The guy's like Ben White. He's the Ben White of the AFL.
Love it. And right, before we move on to our final little segment from you, do you want to tell everyone about your channel and what your plans are for tomorrow if they want to find you and make an appearance, I guess, is probably the right thing to say?
Yeah, well, I've got Road on TV on TikTok. I do game vlogs, fan interviews, and I go around the town, see if... whether, you know, you've probably seen a lot of smackheads on my channel before. But I'm excited to see what Peterborough has to offer. If you're a Peterborough fan, you know, feel free to come up to me, jump in the videos. I do fan interviews, you know, you literally just come up to me. I'm happy to include anyone, anywhere. So yeah, I'll be around Peterborough.
What time are you getting to Peterborough tomorrow?
12. I'm getting 12. But okay. I'll be all around the place.
Doing a mad dash. So yeah. Maybe everybody at the moment needs to put in the comments the best and worst of Peterborough and the best places to go. Absolutely, please do not go down Lincoln Road. That will be an absolute nightmare for you. But do be sure to head to Charters. Is this your first time coming to watch Wimbledon at Posh?
Yeah, 100%.
So head to Charters pre-game. Good atmosphere in there. Do you know how many Wimbledon fans are coming up?
I know we've sold over 1,000 tickets. Good number.
Yeah, good numbers then. So before you go, because we're going to be here for probably another 25 minutes at least, and you've got football to go to, you've already said that you think that Posh are going to get absolutely smashed by Wimbledon tomorrow.
Yeah,
so now is your chance to back that and to give us a score prediction. And if you think, which clearly you do, that Wimbledon are going to score, who is going to be the first goal scorer for Wimbledon, please?
Okay, you see, this is the hard part, the goal scorer. I mean, our goal scorer doesn't exist at the moment. But I think, okay, 2 weeks ago, I put on my Twitter, I gave Johnny Jackson my tactical expertise. I met him at the station and I gave him my tactical expertise. We ended up losing the next two games, so I don't want to go too crazy. But I think, do you know what? I'm going to say 2-0 Wimbledon. 2-0 Wimbledon. And I think the goal scorers, I think there'll be a penalty. and Bugle will take the penalty. No, Marcus Brown will take the penalty. And I think the other scorer is going to be... I think Asimwe is going to get a goal. He's going to get a goal tomorrow, 100%.
Well, by my books, 2-0 isn't a smashing, especially if you're going to play a low block and we're going to have 90% of the possession. So if that's a smashing for you guys, just you wait until you see what the Up the Poshcast hosts have all put for their prediction. I'm going to be honest with you. Fingers is Scotty. So if you watch after this, he's the guy that's going to come on. He said that you'll love Angels, which is in the town centre. It's a strip club, maybe not appropriate for TikTok, but
maybe after the game, after a good win.
Yeah, well, yeah. Obviously, after a big win, maybe a trip to Angels might be on the cards. Who knows?
Maybe.
But thank you very much, Refuser, for joining us. Well, hopefully, I'll see you tomorrow. Max is there as well, so fingers crossed, we'll see you around the ground. And I hope that you enjoy your football this evening.
Thank you for having me, and as always, big up Peter, bro. But tomorrow we're rivals, so see you guys later. Appreciate it.
Nice one. Thank you. Speak soon. Right, I'm just going to go straight into it. Let's get Scotty in. Scotty, are you ready to rock and roll?
I'm born to rock and roll.
Obviously, you've been on before, haven't you? You've been on Countdown to Kickoff before.
Briefly to help you out, weren't it? Because of someone's signal problems, wasn't it, I think?
Dodgy signal.
Yeah,
it was, yeah. Can you give me a recap of everything that's happened to Peter United and your opinion on it since the last time that we had a quick chat on here?
I think we had a discussion, didn't we, on managers, weren't it? If Fergie was to go, who is it we'd want? And we've won a couple of games and we've lost a couple of games, and we've obviously now got a new manager and we've lost a manager. So,
and what are your thoughts on Luke Williams? Well, okay, let's pause. Let's go back. Where was that the right time to sack Fergie for you, Scotty?
I thought we would have sacked him the game before Burton. I can't remember who was it we played at home. Was it Barnsley? I thought that was the time before the Burton game. I think the Burton game sort of saved him. And I think if we'd won at home at Blackpool, I think he would have probably been okay. I thought the time was before. I wasn't sort of a Fergie out until that game before Burton. And then the Burton game, despite the win, obviously I was behind Max. It was just appalling, wasn't it? And I think his time was to go. And I think I know it's only been one game, but the 45 minutes in the first half last week, they just showed a bit of more desire and passion. It was like a reset. And it was just the Peter United side that we were watching, I think, two seasons ago with that high press.
That's the philosophy Luke Williams wants to recreate. If you don't know already, I love talking about new signings. And Luke Williams is a fantastic new signing that I'm over the moon about. I completely agree with you. I can't remember if the international break was before Burton or after Burton, but I would have sacked him in that international break. I can't remember the exact date. It might have been the game after Burton. There was an international break. I think that was the perfect time to sack him then. We would have had 2 weeks with a new manager. Luckily, we found another window that's been fine, because for me, the FA Cup was a free hit, right? If we lost, we lost, whatever. The manager's getting to grips with the squad. We're out of the cup, probably for the best. We're not going to risk any injuries later down the line, right? We didn't. He's managed to turn a squad that looked completely, you know, lifeless into a squad full of attacking intent and high possession, fast-flowing football. We looked far better from set pieces. Everything just looked better, didn't it? And that was the big thing. And Cardiff didn't, you know, it was a full-strength Cardiff side almost that came out and we played. And it was fantastic to get the win, wasn't it? So when we look at Luke Williams, what do you think, what do you want to see on Saturday, Scotty? Like, I know the obvious answer is a win, but like, what do you want to see from the team? Is it an improvement? Do you want to see something different from the weekend? What do you want to see?
I want us to come out of the blocks again, like we did against Cardiff last week. And, you know, we talk about the players wasn't fit and stuff. And Fergie at the start said we're a few weeks behind, and we got a few weeks in. But it showed on Saturday that actually playing that high press after, I think, 45 minutes, we looked tired again. So that shows that actually, was the player still match fit with that playing that high press? Probably not. But my question would be, is that if we did sack Fergie when we both suggested or thought, would we have signed Luke Williams? Because obviously people wanted Ian Evatt, and he was a free agent at that time before he went to Blackpool. And, you know, would we have had him then? You know, that's the questions that we would ask. Like, obviously, we wanted the young manager. Jack Wilshere was another one who was available. Would we have gone in for him at the time? So I think the high pressure for me, again, I want us to come out the blocks like we did last week, really, because we should have scored, really, in the first minute against Cardiff last week. Would the game would have been different, though, if we did score in that first minute? Maybe it would have, maybe not. But I think it's the high press for me. The confidence. And the one for me at the minute who I love watching is just Lisby. I think his passion with the fans, getting the fans going, I think he's going to become like the new Zakaria. I think he's going to be a fan's favourite. Because you can just see every time we get a corner and he's by that corner flag, he's geeing the fans up every time.
Do you know what? That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I've certainly made comments on Brad when Brad was doing that, and the geeing up is that it's good when there's lots of pressure, but I don't want him to overstep the mark. Do you know what I mean, Scotty? Is that it's all well and good, like, hyping up the fans once or twice and, like, maybe at, like, the start of the half or something like that when it's a little bit flat. But I don't want that to become his thing. I'd like to see output. And that's not to say that it hasn't been there, because obviously, look, we watched him score a hat-trick against Aston Villa under-21s, didn't we? So it's clearly there. But I hope that he doesn't just become the player that is the cheerleader ultimately, and we see lots from him. Obviously, one player that was a surprise to see last week, maybe, was Oddo. What were your thoughts on that? And do you think that he's done enough? Obviously, the only one player, and this is where I think that I'm going to struggle, is Garbutt, getting him back in and potentially replacing Jimmy J. Morgan or Oddo. Do you think that Oddo did enough last weekend to deserve a start?
Absolutely. I think Oddo had a different tactic to what Lisby's was last week, and you could tell his job looked like he was there to hold the position from what sort of I saw from the London Road end. And I actually thought Oddo had a good game. I don't think his impact was to try and score. And he gets a lot of criticism from fans, and I thought his performance was relatively good. Garbutt, I'd probably swap him for Woods, if I'm being honest.
Tell you what, I'm gonna intervene there. That's the supporters and I believe the sponsors' man of the match that you're gonna take out. That is that's a bold shout, Scotty, I must admit. Please do explain.
I think Archie's place is just there, isn't it, until Archie goes. But I don't know, I'm just sort of liking the partnership link up with Archie, Matty Garbutt. And then you've got obviously Brendan Keller, and I just like it. I don't know. That's just my feeling. I don't know. That's just my feeling on it.
The big thing about Ben Woods is, isn't it, is that we saw it. He can play any role in midfield. Mm. And if we're gonna play with a 10, I wouldn't count out the fact that we've got a 16 goal and assist midfielder on our book. I mean, his season in League Two was fantastic, and that's the reason why I'm signing him, wasn't it? And although I do like Keller, and I think his runs off the ball and his work rate is so integral to the way we want to play, if anybody's going to be dropped out that midfield three, I think it should be him for Garbutt and play Woods in a more advanced position. Just wanted to come back on Oddo. I obviously wrote an article about wingers that could thrive under Luke Williams, and Abraham Oddo wasn't one that I've mentioned, but I think he could also thrive under Luke Williams. I have to make sure John isn't watching, but I also think he's going to be one that can thrive under Luke Williams. And if we're going to play a four, then the likes of Frith, Oddo, Lisby are going to become hopefully that sort of high profile that we need to help create goals. And I don't think under a new manager, any player should be ruled out based on what we've seen under a previous manager. I think all players should be given a clean slate, and we go again and we regroup. And I think Abraham Oddo really does have an opportunity now to go and claim a starting position, because when Declan Frith is going to come back, I don't think he's going to be on that bench for long, and one of the wingers is going to go. So I think really Lisby and Oddo are going to be fighting for that other flank. And that's something that he's going to do. What do you think of Frith, though, Scotty? Because I know none of us have seen him very much, but we did see him against Barnsley, didn't we? Come on, and that moment of magic to give Kean Hayes that setup and get us an integral point. What do you think? I think it was Bradford, actually, not Barnsley. But what do you think of Declan Frith? Do you think he's going to stay on the bench for long? Do you think he's going to replace one of the wingers? Could we play him in the 10? What do you think is going to happen?
I think he'd have to go out on the right for Oddo when he's back. But like you said, we've got a lot of games coming up where we've had, what, two postponed games now. So we're going to have a lot of Saturday, Tuesday coming up again. So I think they're both going to have to be fit and they're both going to have to sort of just rotate. So they're going to get the minutes. I saw Frith at the Stamford game, the friendly, I think. And I thought, was it Stamford? Yeah. And he looked probably the best player I thought in that game on that wing. He looked lively. He looked like he could take players on. He reminded me a bit of a Poku. And in that Stamford game, I know it's Stamford, but no, I think he'll come in. I look forward to seeing him when he's back. Obviously, it's going to take him some time to get fit and get, you know, back in the game. But I think he'll be back in for Oddo once he's 100% match fit. But yeah, he was the one from the summer after watching that. I came away from that Stamford game was the one that I thought, you know what, he looks a baller, ready to go.
Yeah, do you still feel like we are just waiting for everybody to be fit? Like, obviously it's never an ideal time, is it? But we're still 3 players long-term injury down out of BC, Frith and Hughes, 4, Hayes as well. How could I forget about him? Harry's favourite player. Then you couple in that Jimmy J. Morgan may not have been able to have trained after the Blackpool game, I think it was. Then Garbutt obviously injured last week, Nevitt obviously injured. Do you think that you give the manager a little bit of grace again, like we did with Fergie, whereby all these players are injured, or are you expecting an immediate change essentially?
No, I think there's got to be some sort of grace, absolutely. I think whatever the team is now, you've got to think when these players come back, the team should only get better. So this is the sort of the set goal. And when, say, Hughes and Frith are back, it should only improve the team even better than what it is. So I know we're bottom of the league, but I sort of see it now as that we're, 5 points off, 6 points off? Five. So I say we're starting the league again now from tomorrow and we're starting the season on -5. In theory, like, we don't want to take the first 13 games into what Ferguson's done to where we are with Williams. It's a new season for us. It's a fresh start. And I think we're just starting the season on -5.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I completely agree. I think this is it, isn't it? The clean slate that I was talking about earlier. Of course, this is a new manager. This is a new period. And I think he's going to keep us up. The biggest criticism of Luke Williams was he's not the manager you hire in a relegation battle. And if we can put those performances in that we put against Cardiff in, we're going to be fine quite comfortably. As Ashley said, we've got returning players coming back, haven't we, that are going to come back and help us. You know, our club captain has currently been out and I don't think he's going to be back until December time, late November, that we're going to be without our club captain for, without that leader role on the pitch. Obviously, we've got PK, but in terms of a squad balance, Scotty, and I know you were talking about Saturday, Tuesdays and cup fixtures. We've got Crawley after this. How can you see this run panning out from now until we go back? You know, we've got Doncaster, we've got Wimbledon, 2 newly promoted teams, although Wimbledon are flying at the moment. Doncaster actually sit 24th in the League One form table. They are currently the worst side, I think, in League One in terms of current form. You know, we've got games that are winnable here. How do you think we're going to navigate this busy schedule?
Well, I think we've got quite a bit of respite, haven't we, after Tuesday, because the Mansfield game has been postponed. So you'd think that we'd play a full strength side tomorrow, go strong on Tuesday to ensure we qualify. Because as Ash has said on previous on the spaces, that, you know, this is our FA Cup, isn't it? What you said before, Ash. And, you know, we can relatively go strong in that game because we've now got the Saturday off and we've then got a good 10-day respite to try and, you know, get Frith back, get Frith fit, try the things out what Luke Williams wants. And we've had it where he had a short period of time to turn it around and go straight out at Cardiff. So I think the running is quite relatively well up to December. We've got we still have got just a 7 day break after a couple of games, and then we go into the Saturday Tuesday. So I think he's got enough time to plan ahead now after Saturday and Tuesday to what he actually wants.
Well, I want to know from you, Scotty, how positive you are tomorrow. Obviously, Refugees Geezer said that they're going to thrash us 2-0, which is not a thrashing in my eyes. I'm going to keep going back to that. I want to know your score prediction for tomorrow and your first goal scorer, if you think the Posh are going to score, please.
I'm going to go 3-2, Posh. And first goal scorer, I think Harry Leonard's just going to double up again now after last week. I think they got the drought's over. I think, you know, he's shot Tupac. He's back. You know, Leonard is ready to roll.
I'll ask you to explain that quote to me.
So obviously, when you remember when we had Ricky J. Jones, I'd put, you know, if Tupac was alive, you know, if Ricky J. Jones shot Tupac, he'd still be alive. So obviously, I said it. I tweeted Harry Leonard that. I didn't tweet Harry Leonard it. I hashtagged it. And he liked it the other week. And so last week I put, obviously, he's now dead because he scored and he liked it again. So, I think Harry Leonard will score tomorrow again. And I'd like to see Lisby score again.
Yeah, that would be good.
And I'd like to see Matty Garbutt score before he goes off for his lovely international break. So,
yeah, I don't think he'll be there Tuesday, will he? Because he'll have gone to internationals. I don't know where New Zealand are actually playing their games, but I would imagine it's not in Europe this time. Scotty, before you actually go, I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Obviously, you're part of the Disabled Supporters Association, aren't you? I would like you just to reach out to anybody so that anybody that doesn't know about it, I'll give you the platform to talk about it for 2 minutes and just let everybody, make everybody aware of it, please.
So anyone who's is registered disabled or takes a child or a carer to who is a carer to Peterborough, there is a disabled sports group, which is fantastic. It's good to share any concerns, getting updates and stuff around the ground, which obviously you've been to, Ash, you know, accompanied me. And I think it's a good thing to be a part of. Obviously, if you've got children or young adults with sensory issues, you can get a free sensory bag pack from the club now. I don't know what else much more to say, mate, other than that obviously things have massively improved since the supports group has started. There was a lot of concerns with the toilets and stuff and fans using the toilets, and they've sort of fixed them issues. They're trying to work out to get wheelchair access people into the GH stand. So they've got the cover and a better view as well, because obviously a lot of people walk across their walkway. There's a few people that I have signed up and have messaged me through Twitter who have now joined the disabled group. And obviously we'd just like to keep it growing and get more people in seats and attending the meetings at the club.
Yeah. Do you know what that I'll wrap up on that. That was actually really insightful when I first went, not only to sort of see all of the issues that somebody like me doesn't experience on a match day. And to understand how maybe I can help in a way, just maybe by just even having a voice and giving people the chance to talk. And equally, Scotty, I think it's probably important off the back of this that you let everybody know what your Twitter at is in case they do want to contact you about the Disabled Supporters Group. I think it's Scotty PUFC at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, or it's Tony. It's like my old Xbox name, but it's Basic Gaming, like back in the day, but it's iBasicWaltonI. But yeah, if you're interested, drop me a DM. I can give you the right email to Helen Meadows at the club. Just get on board. But as you said, Ash, you've seen the improvements already, haven't you?
Yes, exactly. That was the one thing that I did want to say is that there was that massive list of grievances that everybody had in the first meeting that we went to. And then by the time that the second meeting came around, look, it was never all going to be ticked off, was it?
No.
The club did do a great job at making sure that this is putting plans in place so that people could see, right, we're not just doing this for a box tick exercise. It's so that actually we can sort of acknowledge that we do need to make improvements, and the club have been good at that. And I actually do think that the GH is now open as long as there's no away fans in the GH, it is actually open for home fans, even if it's just the 6 disabled bays that are in there, which is, of course, a massive improvement, because the disabled facilities in the other 3 stands, if there's even any in the London Road end, don't think there is.
No.
So then in the other 2 stands, it's not the best, is it? So giving them that view and that a proper experience, I would say, is really important. But thank you anyway, Scotty. Thank you for joining us. See you around the ground tomorrow, maybe in the fan zone?
Yeah, I'm going to be there. My lad wants a face paint, so I'll be around. And we are going into the GH tomorrow, so we'll be in there as well. Are you at the GH tomorrow?
I'm not. I'm on the Prawn Sandwich Brigade tomorrow. I'm in the sponsors lounge because my boss is sponsoring the game.
I'm in the GH, Scotty.
I'll see you there. So Ash is going to eat his pine chip. He's getting his free pine chips in the sports lounge. Sponsors lounge, sorry.
And I will be booing him.
And I want to know how many pies you eat as well, because I went in there last year and I put away 4, so...
No. I'm on the other side. Not in the boxes. I'm in the sponsors lounge for the game.
Oh, okay, so sorry.
You get 3-course meal and none of this pie nonsense. Oh. But if 4's the challenge, I'll do 5. Like, that's not even it. That's not your challenge. Like,
so you're the yuppie side then. I told you,
I'm in the prawn sandwich brigade. That's exactly what it is, right? But thank you anyway, Scotty. Yeah, I'm going to boot you off now, otherwise we'll be here all night. Thank you, though.
Yeah, take care.
Cheers, mate. Thank you. Right, Maximus, back to the start. We've only pulled up like 1 comment, haven't we?
Yeah.
There was 1. POFC Life, this is the one that I wanted to start with. There's a 30%, there's probably not even a 0.3% chance that D-Mac's watching, but somebody is feeding back to him. We know that because otherwise, how would he know? He's not watching our lives, is he? But somebody's feeding back to him, and that's fine. Like I said, we just wanted to wear our grievances. And actually, when I think back to the live that we did with him in July, I asked him and said, what's it going to take for Fergie to be sacked? And he shunned me and said, well, nothing, basically. It's not going to happen. We're confident that we're going to be good. 13 league games down the line. Unfortunately, Fergie had to be sacked. Next question. Lods, what does that mean?
He's talking about then, satellite, isn't he? The Wimbledon fullback.
Max, this is one for you. Yeah, this, Max. Okay, so actually, no, this is not one for you because I've gone back one. Not so posh. That was a crazy thing from Scotty to drop our man of the... Not, well, it wasn't the podcast man of the match, was he, last week? But the sponsors and fans man of the match. I can't see that. Do you agree with that sentiment that keeping Woods in the team and him being left-footed as a midfielder is important?
Ben Woods just has to play football games for us. I think he's important to our midfield. I raved about it on Final Whistle at the weekend. He's so integral to how we want to play football, I think, and how Luke Williams wants to play. And I think he will start for the remainder of the season. And I think Keller will come in for the games where he needs a rest or we need a midfield to rest. And that's what Keller should be, by the way. Keller shouldn't be starting every game for us. That's not what we brought him in for, is it? We brought this midfielder in as a project. He's 20 years old. He barely made 10 League 2 appearances last season. You know, we haven't brought him in to play every game in League 1, although he's got the ability. I'm not questioning that, but we've brought him in to learn from our older heads and become a player eventually. And I don't think it's any wrongdoing from Keller. I just think Ben Woods has to play football for us.
This was the one, Max, that I was interested on because I had a quick look at Liam Richardson's managerial record and it was good at Wigan, but then it was relatively poor at, I'll take that back, actually. It was fucking shite at Rotherham, wasn't it? Do you have any thoughts on him? As obviously, look, I'm delighted that we've got Reading fans watching us on a Friday night. You got any thoughts on him as a manager?
I know Reading fans weren't overly excited about Liam Richardson. I think Reading fans would have rather a younger manager or Luke Williams. That was the big thing, I think, wasn't it? Was when I was scrolling through Twitter when he was appointed, was how posh are going to get this exciting manager and we're going to get Liam Richardson. I don't think Liam Richardson is a bad appointment for Reading. I think Reading has to get a manager with experience in the door, and that's what they needed more than anything. And I think Liam Richardson ticks that box. Although his managerial record wasn't fantastic, you can say the same thing about Luke Williams. He went to Swansea and he got sacked. His football got him sacked. He was at Notts County. His football is talked about, and they were probably one of the most exciting teams League Two's ever seen. They had one of the best non-league campaigns in history. You know, that's what we're talking about here in terms of managerial stints. Sometimes it works at some clubs and sometimes it just doesn't. And I think Liam Richardson was again, just poor at a certain club. I don't think that's anything to do with his style of football. It's with Reading, it's can Liam Richardson get the best out of the players? That's the question that I think the Reading fans should be asking, rather than can Liam Richardson get his results? Because I think he will. I think he'll get your results. You've got the players, you've got the calibre to stay up. Just can everything around the club and all the noise and the players all just fall into sync, and can he sort of orchestrate a push to stay up? And I think you've got a pretty good chance. I don't think that's a poor managerial appointment at all.
I'm famous for my track record of not really having a great clue of people that are involved outside of Peterborough United. But my only comment would be, from listening to the Hard Truth podcast that DMAT did with, is it Rob Cuhig, I think is the name of the new Reading owner. He very much said that Noel Hunt and Cuhig, that they sort of had to get along because it wasn't an ideal situation. Noel Hunt probably didn't want Cuhig as an owner. Cuhig didn't want Noel Hunt as a manager, but they had to sort of get through it and try and make it work. I think that the important thing for Reading is that now that Cuhig has managed to make his own appointment, this is now his manager, and you would hope that the rapport is good and will hopefully carry Reading through, apart from Tuesday, the 9th of December, I think it is, when we head down to the Majewski Stadium, as I will call it. PUFC for Life is telling us that Adebisi will be back soon. Well, I was expecting to see him midweek in the under-21s game, according to DMAC, but that didn't happen. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that's not a setback and that is just them being precautious. Ed wants Posh versus Cambridge in the last 16 at home. I assume that is in the Virtue Trophy. But the last 16 must be a few rounds away, because I know that we're definitely going to finish second if we win at Crawley, because it goes down to head-to-head.
Mm-hmm.
And finishing second in the group means that you're guaranteed an away game. Then here comes John, number one gobshite. And to go back to that, actually, I'm actually insulted that I was including that, because I didn't think I even said anything bad. That was the worst part of it all. What did I say? I've not watched it back. So if anybody wants to go back and watch the live from when Fergie got sacked and we were doing it at 9 o'clock, by all means do. Come and get me a clip. Clip me and then go tag me on Twitter, AW7794, of if you think that's why that I was called a gobshite, but I have been salaciously accused of being a gobshite. Matt, another criminal. Yes, again, yeah, he's made a dig. Yeah, you did make a dig, Matt, because your articles are in direct competition with Hard Truth articles. Lods is now talking about pies. Again, now we know who ate the pies. Yes, Scotty ate all the pies. There is a leak at London Road. Yes, there is. This is an interesting one. Thoughts?
No. Why? That's just silly. Why would you bench probably our best midfielder, one of League One's better midfielders, for who? You're going to play Ben Woods and Matty Garbutt as a midfield pivot. I mean, yeah, that's fine, but you know, none of them are going to do the defensive work and the orchestration and the quarterbacking like Archie Collins does. So why bother breaking our midfield equilibrium to drop Archie Collins? That makes no sense to me. You play Archie Collins, you play Matt Garbett, and then you play Ben Woods as a more advanced midfielder. You could play him as a progressive eight. You could play him as a 10 if you wanted. You drop, unfortunately, you just drop Keller in this situation. You never drop Collins. Not at all.
Not So Posh wants to know if we're joining in with anti-MK songs tomorrow with the real Dons. I will be honest with you, Not So Posh, the only chant that you're getting out of me is a thunderclap at the start of the game, but I'm not going to do that tomorrow because I'm going to be eating prawn sandwiches. And the only time that you see me doing that is in the GH. Max, are you going to join in with some anti-MK Dons songs?
Look, everybody hates MK Dons, don't they? But I mean, I don't think I'll be joining in with any anti-MK Donta chants, but you know, you might get a subtle round of applause from me, but I won't be joining in. No, is the answer.
John's accused us of being the Reading cast, whilst also being reminded by himself that it's his local ground. Absolute shambles from this guy. Was DMAC just talking up CCC's transfer fee, or is there a way back on January the 1st? I think that there's a chance. I do think that there's a chance that he comes back in. I'm not sure in what capacity that is. Obviously, Chris Clark's made it very clear that he wants to stay at Carlisle for the season and get Carlisle promoted back to the Football League. But ultimately, that may not be his decision. If Luke Williams wants to recall him on January the 1st, if that's an option, or when the loan expires on the January 31st, I think it is, he's got to come back to the club, and hopefully he would be the ultimate professional and would try and work his way back into the team. Will we get crowds back under? Right. Now, this is an interesting one. And Swanee put out an article that basically sort of said that the crowds had disappeared. I actually think that that's not right. And I put a tweet out that essentially said that. Max, if you could just talk about that. I'm going to go and find the tweet and screenshot it so that we can add it in. But look, I'll pull the question up again. Do you think that the crowds are going to come back?
Well, I don't. Look, I know the fans are so important to how a football team wants to play. And Williams was very, you know, he praised the fans, didn't they? There was a very low number at Cardiff, well, at Peterborough's ground for Cardiff at the weekend. And, you know, the crowds were very, it wasn't full, you know, it should be. And that's what I mean. It should be almost full every single week. And to me, I get that there's other commitments, but I don't care if we're 24th and the football's awful or if we're, you know, flying high in first. I feel like fans should always want to get behind their team because, in essence, without the fans, the team won't perform as well. And that's the big thing for me. You know, London Road can be really loud when it wants to be. We've seen it so many times when we want to sing, when we want to build an atmosphere, we do. And I think we really should. I think we should really try under Luke Williams to bring those crowds back in. I think yes is the answer to your question. I think the crowds will come back. I think the crowds should have stayed under Fergie, but I think the crowds will come back. And I think Luke Williams is the type of manager to get us off our feet. You know, I think we are going to get big turnouts again. And I think better days are coming. And that's the biggest thing for me is that I almost feel like there is a promise of a better day. And hopefully I haven't shot myself in my foot a bit and we end up being crap again. But I am really, really hopeful for sort of the next season, for the season and beyond, until, you know, the contract expires, and hopefully offer him a new one.
Well, I've got the screenshot. I'm going to pull it up. There it is. What exactly does bring the crowds back mean? You can see your average attendance is there. And look, we're not that far off. So I just can't get behind, is Luke Williams going to bring the crowds back? They never disappeared. And I think it's insulting to Posh fans to say that they did disappear, because largely, other than Burton, maybe, this season, the fans have been there and have been behind the team. Let's go back. Where are we at? Well, there we are. Will Ian Mills, will Gustav get better with Williams coaching him? Now, interesting one. I'd like to take this one. There was an inside training, wasn't there, yesterday? And a certain friend of the podcast, Craig McHale Smith, was stood next to Luke Williams. Is Craig McHale Smith the man to get Gustav's shooting boots going? John does not think so. No surprise there. I'm going to say it again. I've got a glimmer of hope, and I'm going to give everyone a fresh start under a new manager. And I hope that Gustav finds his shooting boots, because Jimmy J. Morgan's not going to be here permanently, is he? What else have we got? I think we're ready, Max. I think that we're ready for the score predictions. Now, I'm going to pull them up. I'm going to go first. Max, you're actually last, so you can just tell everyone yours, but they'll probably have already read it by the time they get around. There's some real thrashings on here. I've gone 4-2, Abraham Odo, first goal scorer. Charlie, 2-1, Abraham Odo, first goal scorer. And I'll clarify why I've put Abraham Odo, first goal scorer. Harry Boo, 3-3, with a Ben Woods, first goal scorer. John, positive, 3-1, Harry Leonard. Lods, mega positive, 5-2. That's even more extravagant than me, Harry Leonard. And Max, yours, do you want to talk us through yours?
Yeah, I've gone 3-2, same as Scotty, with a Harry Leonard first goal scorer. I think, as Scotty said earlier, I think Harry Leonard's shooting boots has been found, that omen's going to break and he's going to start banging them in for us under Williams. And look, I think we're giving Williams less defensive credit than he deserves. I think we'll be fine defensively under Williams. I just think the counter-attack we're going to be very, very vulnerable on. And I think Wimbledon could cause us a big problem. Like, I think we could even be 2-0 down at half time. But I will not stray or fret. I still believe that we could come back under Williams, as shown. You know, if we can do that, if we can just eke out, all I want is to see us eke out an extra 10, 15 minutes of that intensity a game week until we can do that for 80 minutes with subs, obviously. But we can do that. That level of intensity and that level of, you know, want and desire every week, and we'll be fine.
Yeah, look, I've gone positive because all through last season as well, it just felt like we were ready to explode at some point, and I don't think that we really saw that. Obviously, Wembley was the last good game, I would say, that we had like a proper great day out. But actually, I think that we're just ready. I think that we're there, and I think that we're going to be ready to explode into fashion. And it's going to be tomorrow. Abraham Odo, he looked good last week. I've got no issue saying that. And he actually did look good in the inside training video, which, if everybody's not watched yet, please do go and watch that on Posh Plus. Zach has got some criticism of Odo, which I'm not having. I didn't read it before I pulled it up. I'm taking it off. I'm not even mentioning it. So for all of the listeners that don't actually watch it. A few final things. Blue section are in the GH tomorrow at the front of E3. It looks like E3 and E4 are sold out or nearly there. If you are listening and your child is involved in a grassroots football club, get onto your club secretary. There are massive, huge discounts available for grassroots clubs, if you can get yourself a grassroots code, but you've got to get it sorted before 12 o'clock because then there's then a price increase and it's not as glamorous of a discount. So please, everybody that's watched tonight, everybody that's umming and ahhing, I know that last week was Luke Williams' first game, but tomorrow's where it starts. Tomorrow's where the fun starts. He's had 5 or 6 days on the training ground with them all. Let's really hope that he's managed to drill into them. Obviously, lots of talk of drip feeding this week, of drip feeding information. Let's hope that we were good for, 30 minutes at the start of last season? No, not last season, last week. Gosh, we probably were only good for 30 minutes of last season as well. Let's not beat around the bush here. But yes, get down to London Road, support the lads. Make it, let's go for 9,000, 10,000. Let's justify opening the GH every single weekend for the rest of the season. Max, any final thoughts from you?
Yes, I want to echo what Ashley has just said. I urge everybody to go and buy a ticket. Come down, support, you know, the club, support the players, get behind them, make some noise, and hopefully we can help the players get the ball into the back of the net and keep the ball out of our own net and hopefully go and win the game and kickstart. As Scotty said earlier, as I've said previously, the season starts tomorrow. And that's the big thing. If you haven't come down yet, buy a ticket. Come down. It would be great to see everybody there. And hopefully we can, you know, win the game, because that's a big thing. We just need 3 points.
I said I had one big thing left to say, but actually I've got more, because as everybody will know, myself, Lods, and a few others within the podcast are massive fans of the Posh Women team, and they are playing at home on Sunday against Leafield. 7 unbeaten, 21 points. I'm sure I said it was plus 27 or plus 28. Get yourself down to Pimm's Park. Do not tell me that you think it's crap if you've never watched it. I'm not having it. I've had some great Sundays so far this season. Plus, added bonus, you're at this far away from opposition managers. Carl Henry was there last week. Ex-Premier League footballer. He was not impressed with my comments. Please do not say that you don't like it until you've given it a chance. And Sunday, 2 p.m. at Pimm's Park is the chance. I believe that there's some kids' football going on before, from like 12:30 till 1:30 potentially as well, that I've seen. I think that's £3 a session. It's a good time to be Peterborough United. Monday, 7:30, the under-18s are playing at London Road in the FA Cup. Get down there and support them as well. This is four intense games of Peterborough United coming out that we've got, obviously, Crawley on Tuesday, and then we've got a break. Let's really get behind the club, not just the team. This is the club thing now, and I think that's where I'm going to focus my energy going forward. Let's get behind the club and support the club and be positive about where we're going, because it is a new era, isn't it? And Darren Ferguson, I said it when we were live, he's a club legend, but it's now time for something new, and fingers crossed, Luke Williams is the man that is going to show that it's not only Darren Ferguson that can bring success to the football club. I actually think I'm done now, Max. Give me a nod if you want to say something else, or shake your head if you don't. I think that we're there. I just wanted to say one final thank you to Prime Vehicle Sales for their partnership of this weekend, and also to the Next Level Barbell Club for their sponsorship of our Predictions League. We are one game in, and I think there's going to be three or four for November, the chance to win two boxes. And Mr. B, you've not responded to us yet. You won the Predictions League for October. If you're listening to this now, Mr. B, get into our DMs on socials or email us, contact@uptheposhcast.com, so that we can get you your reward and your prize in, and we can get you organised for what's probably going to be the Stockport game now, I think, because tomorrow is going to be too short notice. And with that, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.